بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the 30th juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a surah, a chapter that comprises of 11 ayat, 11 verses. By the way, we find that a verse of the Quran is referred to in Arabic as an ayah. Ayah actually means a sign, something which directs you to a certain destination. When you are traveling along a way, there are certain signboards which you follow. These signboards are referred to as an ayah. You rely on these signboards in order to deliver you at your destination. Every verse of the Quran is an ayah. It is a sign which leads you and has the potential to deliver you and direct you towards the author of that ayah, Allah. That is why a verse of the Quran is called an ayah. This specific chapter was revealed in the Meccan period, that is prior to the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinatul Munawwara. So it was revealed in the early stages of Islam. The name of this surah, of this chapter, is Suratu Al-Adiyat. We find that in the first five ayat of the surah, the first five verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the features and the qualities, the attributes of war horses. Primarily you find the first five ayat. Allah is explaining to us the features of these war horses, and not only does Allah give us a beautiful description of these horses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam, He takes an oath, He swears by these war horses. And it is the prerogative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to swear an oath by any of His creatures. That is the prerogative of Allah. Allah swears by the night, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. Allah swears by the day, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time, which is a creation of Allah, وَالْعَصْرِ. So it is the prerogative of Allah to swear, to take a qasam, and to take an oath by any of His creatures. However, we as human beings, we are not allowed. We are not allowed to swear or to take an oath by any of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we take an oath, when we take a qasam, we take a qasam by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first ayah of this beautiful chapter of the Quran, Allah says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا, Allah says, wa. You see this wa, you have different wa in the Arabic language, different wows. You have the wa, which is a conjunction. You have the wa, which is used in order to introduce a sentence and does not convey any significant meaning, is not translated. Then you have the wawul qasm, the wa that is used in order to take an oath. People say, Wallahi. You see that wa? That is the article used in order to take an oath. Allah says, Wal adiyat. Allah takes a qasam by the adiyat. What's al adiyat? Those horses that charge ahead. The horses that charge ahead. Wal adiyati dabhan. Dabhan, snorting away. Let us look at each of these words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of in this ayah. We discussed the wow and its function. Allah says, Al-Adiyat. Al-Adiyat, we have translated it as horses that are charging ahead, specific objective in mind. Al-Adiyat. They are not galloping or running aimlessly. They are charging. They are moving towards a specific direction, in a specific direction, with a specific objective, and that is to launch an invasion. Al-Adiyat is derived from the root Adwa. Ayn, Dal, and Waw, Adwa. And Adwa literally means to run, but not an ordinary running, to charge, to run while you are charging. We find that another word that is used for running is Jara, Yajri, Jarji. When Allah speaks of the ships that sail on the ocean, Allah does not say Wal-Adiyat for those ships. Allah says, Wal-Jariyat Yusra, Wal-Jariyat. They are Jariyat because they are simply moving, not charging ahead. So they are Jariyat. But these horses, Allah calls them Adiyat. They are not Jariyat. They are Adiyat. They are charging ahead with the objective of launching an invasion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the female horses, not the male horses, but by the female horses. Why? Because in battle, the female horses made for better war horses. They were far more faster. They're far more faster than the male horses. And they were far more braver than the male horses when it came to battles and when it came to launching an attack. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of the finest war horse, not any ordinary war horse. Though the male horse was used at the time of battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically speaks of the female horses. Let's move on to the next word, dabha. So, wal-adiyati dabha. What is dabha? Dabha means the sound that's coming out of the chest of a horse when it runs fast and it breathes laboriously. It's breathing and the snorting and the panting. Many of us might have heard that sound which comes out from the horses at the time when it is galloping at full speed. That is dabha. Wal-adiyati dabha. So they are charging ahead with the objective of launching an invasion, and they are snorting and panting away, letting out the sound. So these horses, they possess the attribute, we understand from this, they possess the attribute of enthusiasm. They are enthusiastically moving ahead, determined. They are determined to get the job done, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the level of energy required, dabha. Allah describes them as dabha, which means that they are using extensive, high levels of energy. Right? So keep these attributes in mind, because they are very important when we come to the main theme of the surah, which is related to human beings and insan. So Allah speaks of these horses, number one, as horses which possess the quality of eagerness, enthusiasm, and a high degree and level of energy when they are performing the task and the deed that they were created for. Moving on to ayah number 2. Allah says, فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. Allah says, then I swear by those horses that create sparks by striking their hooves on stones. Right? So they are running at a incredibly fast pace. And when their hooves strike and hit against this rocky ground, it creates and produces certain sparks. Falmuriyat. Let us study the words. Al-Muriyat. Al-Muriyat is derived from Ira. Muriyat is derived from Ira, which means to strike or to produce fire with a particular piece of wood. We know in the past, there was a certain wood that they would use. They would take this wood, strike it, or rub it against another wood, and there were sparks that were produced by this ira, we call it. Right? So this action of ira. So this is what is meant by muriyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are striking their hooves on this rocky, hard ground, and muriyat qadhan. What does qadha mean? Qadha means striking sparks of fire, the sparks that fly, and the sparks that are produced by the fire or by striking an object against another, those sparks are known as qadha. So you have al-adiyati dabha. Dabha, again, what does dabha refer to? The snorting, panting sound, right, that they make. Then moving on to ayah number 2, فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. And as they are moving and charging ahead, they're galloping at full speed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are sparks that are produced from the striking of the womb of the wolves against the rocky ground. So what do we learn from this? What qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to over here? The first ayah spoke of their eagerness, their enthusiasm, and the level of energy that they had exercised in fulfilling the task. Over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of speed. Their speed and their hastening in fulfilling the responsibility that was placed on their shoulder. No procrastination. They don't procrastinate. They don't procrastinate. This is another attribute of these war horses. That with great speed, the moment the master and the moment the owner or the rider, the jockey, the moment he orders or commands them to move, there is no procrastination, there is no apathy. But they are ready with great speed, hastening towards the fulfillment of their objective. We move on to ayah number 3. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. Still, Allah takes a qasam on these war horses. Allah says, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. Allah says, then I swear by those horses that invade at morning. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. Al-Mughirat, this word Al-Mughirat. So the first attribute, عَادِيَات. Second attribute, مُورِيَات. Third attribute, مُغِيرَات. What does مُغِيرَات mean? It is derived from إِغَارَة. إِغَارَة means to attack or to launch a sudden invasion upon the enemy. Unexpectedly. Unexpectedly, you launch and suddenly you attack the enemy. That is called Ighara. فَالْمُغِيرَات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and now they are ready and they're prepared to launch that attack on the enemy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subha. What does Subha mean? In the morning. They do it in the morning at the time of dawn. This is significant. Allah did not just say they attack. But Allah subhanahu says, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ Subha. So Subha means morning, or it means the dawn. Now the Arabs, this was the time of the day that they would prefer launching an attack on the enemy. Why? To show off their bravery. To show off their bravery. The Arabs and the warriors of the past, in order to show off their bravery and their courage, they wanted to launch an attack in broad daylight. Because launching an attack after nightfall in the darkness was considered as an act of cowardice. Subhanallah, how often we hear today that missiles were dropped, missiles were launched, bombs were dropped in the dead of the night. How many times we hear that while we were asleep, the Zionist movement or the Israeli army launched the attack in the dead of the night. Arabs considered this as an act of cowardice. And they preferred launching an attack in the morning, early part of the morning at the time of dawn. Why? To show off the bravery and courage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us something of these war horses. Another attribute and characteristic of theirs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ. When do they launch the attack? When do they charge forward at great speed? Allah says, Subha, at the time of dawn in the morning. Why? To show off their bravery and courage. Hence, these horses possess the quality of bravery and courage. Again, the first ayah, let us recap. The first ayah teaches us of their enthusiasm, their eagerness, and the level of energy that they exercise in getting the job done. The second ayah spoke of the speed. They hasten, no procrastination in fulfilling the job. And this last ayah that we discussed, ayah number 3, they are brave and courageous. They do not succumb to the circumstances that are prevailing at the time. They don't consider the circumstances. They do not succumb to the hostility. They do not succumb to the pressure. But they exercise courage, bravery, and steadfastness. Irrespective of what circumstances I find myself in, I will fulfill the task and the responsibility that has been placed on my shoulders. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَى. Moving on to ayah number 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what a beautiful scene Allah paints for us. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَى. As they are launching this attack, charging ahead, in the early part of the morning, Allah says, فَأَثَرْنَ, and that raise a trail of dust. As they are proceeding and running, this group of female war horses, Allah says, they leave behind a trail of dust, stirring up the dust that follows behind them. So atharna, this verb atharna, it is derived from ithara. And ithara means to raise dust, right? When you raise dust, when you stir up the dust using your feet or kicking up the dust, this is called atharna, or it is referred to as ithara. Naq'a, fa atharna bihi naq'a. What does naq'a mean? Naq'a means the dust that flies up, right? The dust that follows as a trail behind this person. So this implies that the dust became stirred up and the dust has spread across the horizon. What quality does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to over here? They leave behind a trail. They leave behind an impression. That courageous bravery, enthusiasm, the speed with which they move, the eagerness with which they fulfill the task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all of that, فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَى. It leaves behind a noticeable impression for those to follow. They leave behind a legacy. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعَى. The fifth ayah. Right? And this is where the qasam ends. Remember, this is still the qasam of Allah. Allah is swearing by these horses. The fifth ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. And then these horses, they enter into the center of the enemy forces. They don't arrive at the enemy forces and back down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these horses, they penetrate the center of the enemy without the least degree of fear. Brave and courageous. Now, I want you to visualize the scene that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so beautifully and systematically painted for us. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. They start running. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. They start running and they are moving. They are charging. And they're letting out the snorting, panting sound. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا. Then they pick up the pace and they start galloping. At a faster pace, moving faster and faster, you see the sparks flying around them. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are launching an attack. They are appearing closer and moving nearer and nearer to the enemy. The horizon is covered with dust. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. And they come and they end up right in the center of the enemy. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this oath. But before we come to the maqsum alay, in Arabic, you have the qasam, the oath, and you have the maqsum alay, that which follows the oath, what you take an oath for. A person says, wallahi, that's the oath. Wallahi, I won't do this. I won't do this, that's the maqsum alay. That is of great significance. That is what you want to confirm. That is what you want to stress. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to do over here. But before we come to that, let us study these horses. Let us study the sacrifices, why they are risking their lives. So there are a few questions. The first question, for whom are the horses doing all of this? For whom are they sacrificing their own lives? For whom are they bearing the greatest of hardship? For whom are they doing this? The answer to that question is they do all of this for insan. They're doing it for insan. They're doing it for their masters. Not for themselves. What do they get out of this? They are sacrificing everything, right? And they are doing it for insan who hasn't created them. Has he created them? No. Let alone creating them, he hasn't even created the fodder that he provides for them. The second question, why do they express such a high level of loyalty? What a level of loyalty, subhanAllah. One of the good characteristics, some time back, I heard a talk of a certain sheikh, scholar, and he was speaking of animals, the good characteristics and qualities that they possess, and the bad attributes they have within them. We should take and learn from the good characteristics and forsake and abandon the bad characteristics. From what I remember, a few of these animals and their characteristics. He mentioned, for example, the horse. From the horse, you take the good quality of its loyalty. But it is also a very proud and arrogant animal. It has a lot of pride in it. So you leave out the pride. If you look at, for example, the donkey, he says the donkey, it has the quality of sabr, patience, tolerance. It is beaten, loads are placed on its back, it tolerates. And its bad quality is that of stupidity. So that is abandon. So, and he gives a list of many other such animals that have these contrasting qualities within them. So why are they doing this? Such a high level of loyalty. They are sacrificing their very own existence. This is done to express their gratefulness and gratitude to insan. Why are they doing this? To express what? Their thanks to insan. What are they thanking him for? Brings us to the third question. For what? What are the favors that they receive from insan? Insan feeds them. This insan, their master, their owner, he grooms them every now and again, and he takes care of them, and that is it. So little they are receiving from insan, but look at the level and the degree of their gratefulness and gratitude that they are prepared to sacrifice their existence. So these war horses, they express their gratitude to insan for the little that insan does for them. They express this gratitude how? By displaying enthusiasm, by displaying eagerness, by displaying energy, by displaying speed and courage in the fulfillment of their task, duties and responsibilities. All those above qualities that they are displaying it, why are they displaying it? For the little that insan does for them. Now Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Allah took qasam upon qasam, qasam upon qasam of these war horses. And then Allah says, man, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ. But this insan, certainly insan, is indeed very ungrateful to his Rabb. لَكَنُودٌ. So the purpose of this oath was to confirm or to give weight to this truth. To explain the level of ungratefulness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a term here that is generally not used in the Quran. Allah says, insan is kanood. Normally in the Quran, when Allah explains the ungratefulness of insan, he uses the term kafur. But here he uses a very unique term, which is kanood. Kanood. What is the meaning of kanood? What makes kanood so different from kafur? Kafur simply means to be ungrateful. But kanood, there are several meanings that are cited. Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, kanood is one who counts the calamities that befall him and forgets Allah's favors. He only thinks of the calamities that befall him. When he speaks, he's only speaking about the problems in his life, the calamities in his life, the troubles in his life. He's a blamer. He's always blaming Allah. That's kanood. Another meaning of kanood is the meaning provided by Abu Bakr al-Wasiti. He says he is one who spends Allah's bounties for sinful purposes. The height of ingratitude. Allah gives you a bounty, and the very same bounty is used to disobey Allah. That is kanood, the height of ingratitude. Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahmatullah alayhi, he gives a beautiful explanation of kanood. He says, one who looks at the bounty and not the bounteous Lord. He looks at the bounty, he's consumed by the bounty, but he forgets the bounteous, gracious Lord who had favored that bounty upon him. Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. All three meanings provided above are correct and can be considered when explaining the term kanood. So, insan is ungrateful to his Rabb. Now compare the relationship that the Rabb has with insan. Compare that relationship to the relationship that the master has with the horse. What did the master do for the horse? All he did for the horse was feed the horse some fodder, groom the horse every now and again, and take care of the horse. But what did the Rabb? Allah says, insan is lakanood, he's kanood, he's so ungrateful to who? Not to his landlord, or to his boss, or to his wife, or to his kid. He's ungrateful to who? To his Rabb. What did his Rabb do for him? His Rabb created him. His Rabb fashioned him. His Rabb bestowed upon him intellect, multiple faculties, abilities, strength. That is who his Rabb is. Compare what that master did for the animal, and look how the animal repaid the master. Consider what your Rabb does for you, and ask yourself, how do you repay your Rabb? The animal, he repaid. How did he repay the master? He expressed what? Enthusiasm. Where's the enthusiasm in insan? Where's the because he's ungrateful, you will find, because he's canoed, insan is canoed, you will find that the attributes that the horse possessed, those attributes are not found in this insan because of a result of ungratefulness. So while the horse had enthusiasm, insan has apathy. Why? Canoed. There isn't that sense of gratefulness and gratitude within him. Insan, there's procrastination in fulfilling the duty. The horse was, we spoke of the speed, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ. Moving ahead with great speed, fulfilling that responsibility, the duty placed upon him. Insan, there's procrastination. Why? Canood. There isn't that sense of gratitude within him. Insan lacks courage. He succumbs to the circumstances. He succumbs to the hostility. The moment some hostility is directed towards him, the moment he's placed in an unfavorable circumstance, he backs down. He backs down from his values. Where's the courage? Where's the bravery? Why? As a result of kanood. إِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we'll just translate the ayat that follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he himself is a witness to that fact. Insan himself is a witness to that fact. On the day of Qiyamah, he himself will testify against himself. وَإِنَّهُ, and the cause of this weakness, the cause of apathy, the cause of lack of eagerness, enthusiasm, the cause of procrastination within this insan, all of this, the root cause, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ, and in his love for wealth, he is very intense. His love for wealth. And look, Allah uses the word khair for wealth. Khair means good. So, in its true nature, wealth is something that's good. It's a blessing. It's a bounty from Allah. But if it is not used as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained it for us to be used, then you will find it becomes a source of misery. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells insan, does he not know what will happen when all that is contained in the graves will be overturned? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And all that is contained in the hearts will be exposed. It will be drawn. Hussila. Hussila means, Allah did not say ukhrija, it will be taken out. Hussila, very meticulously and precisely, every little thing that is within his heart will be brought in front of everyone, and it will be made bare and open, exposed. Hussila ma fis sudur. Inna rabbahum bihim yawma idhin lakhabir. The last ayah of this beautiful chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely your Rabb will be fully aware of them on that day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to express gratitude and gratefulness to our Master, our Creator, and the one who has provided us with so many bounties and favors. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.